Well, as I get started this morning, just again, congratulations to all the graduates. Absolutely fantastic. Awesome job. We had a lot of UVive finishing up this week and graduation yesterday. We had a lot of people who graduated with honors from University of Idaho. And I know some of the WSU people would say, well, that's easier at U of I. That's not true, okay? It's not true. And they worked really hard, did a fantastic job, a lot of great GPAs. We had some master's projects that received honors and awards and everything. It just fantastic work. Great job, everybody. Very well done. And of course, a happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. And we are so excited and so blessed by all the moms and all that it is that you do for every one of us. It's amazing. So happy Mother's Day to the moms, natural and spiritual. It's not going to be the point of the message today, but it's certainly part of it. And we're very grateful for the moms. I put this together. A mom is, I think we have this in a slide up here, she is a chef. Okay? Right? We got mom is a chef. She is a photographer, an event planner, a custodian, a nurse, a taxi driver, a counselor, a psychologist, a mediator, a teacher, a coach, a referee, and even a fireman at times, all rolled into one. We could kind of keep going with all this. When we talk about degrees, moms kind of have to be pretty well-versed in about every field that there is as they're taking care of a family, taking care of everything that goes on in a family environment. Moms, you're the glue that hold a family together, and we appreciate you very much. Thank you, moms. Yes, amen. Moms take two completely different generations and glue them together, hold them together. They really do kind of bridge that generational gap that there is. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. And the church really is established in AD 33, kind of reestablished in the local congregation that we all have the privilege of being involved in, wherever that may be. Here at Living Faith Fellowship, established in 1971. But the church is of generations and for generations. The church is made up of many generations. And God is on the move, and he's touching the different generations. It's a beautiful thing. As I was thinking about this generation gap, it's a big part of things in campus ministry. We're working with one generation and connected them with another and all that. And we're looking as a church, how do we minister to a younger group? It's a big deal, a big part of things. The older I've gotten, the more it's a part of things for me and trying to figure all that out and everything. There's a difference or two or three or 100 between myself and the college students that we work with. We have a college student this year. His mom is 9 years younger than me. Wow. 9 years younger than me. And I didn't know that you could have children when you were four, but she did apparently. And she's 9 years younger than me. And I go, there's a gap here. And we're talking through this, trying to work on this and everything. It is a big deal. So I was doing a little studying on the generation gap, and this is kind of interesting stuff. There are currently six generations living in the United States right now. Six. We've got the greatest generation, the silent generation, the baby boomers, Generation X, millennials, Generation Z, which still has yet to really be defined. There are people coming up with different terms, and it kind of takes looking back sometimes in history to really define a generation and say, kind of, here are the years that generation covered. Here are the things that really did define them and make them who they are. But anyway, we've got at least six generations right now. Each generation has its own unique set of characteristics and norms. All right, so here's, I think, one of the most profound things. You look at the two extremes of that. You've got the greatest generation, born 1901 to 1924, and known for its patriotism, hard workers, and loyalty to institutions. Then we've got the millennials, born 1980 to 2000, characterized by, and this is almost antithetical, okay, dependence on technology, detachment from traditional institutions, optimism, and open-mindedness. All right, they really could not be much more different in so many ways. It's amazing stuff to look at and to study. It's no wonder that there's these differences, and we end up with this thing we call a gap in understanding each other. So that gap refers to the difference in actions, beliefs, interests, and opinions that exist between individuals from the different generations. And so, what ends up being the difference? How does this play out? Well, this generation gap is caused by the increased life expectancy, rapid changes in our society, which changes so quickly today. Mobility of society. Our society was not very mobile right around 1901 and is extremely mobile now. They didn't have cars. Now we have self-driving cars. And the effects of the generation gap include conflict among family members, different generations, and misunderstandings. Now, I don't believe that that is the will of God. All right, I don't believe that's the heart of God. You don't look in Scripture, and it doesn't say, there will be a generation gap. Thus saith the Lord, deal with it. You know, try to get along. Let's have the different generations sit in different places in the church and never talk to each other, all those things. I don't believe that's the heart of God. I think the heart of God is that we close that gap, and in fact, not just close that gap, but allow God to do phenomenal things across that gap. That's part of God's plan for His church. It's beautiful. For example, you can't have old men dreaming dreams and young men seeing visions if you don't have old men and young men in the church. Okay? That's kind of like my kind of quote. Okay? You can't have old men dreaming dreams, young men seeing visions if you don't have old men and young men in the church. And God uses the two of those things. He says, I'm going to do profound things. The move of my Spirit is going to produce that across these generations. And that's part of the blessing of God in the church. Dreams and visions happening across the two different generations. And those two generations joining together to accomplish the purposes of God. And this is so important, so incredibly important, because history is being written by the choices that we make every single day. It's interesting to think about that. We read history, but we don't understand. We are making history. Sometimes we forget we're making history with the choices that we make every single day. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. There's a training that's supposed to happen. We are shaping history today and history for the future and what it is that we do with the generations that follow us. And the interaction from one generation to another, the interplay that happens between six generations that are alive in the United States today. There are churches across our nation with six generations represented inside them. We're probably real close this morning. If we don't take care of that, things can get pretty messy. As I've been reading in the Old Testament, in our church reading, we're focusing really especially on the New Testament this year, but we also have the Old Testament reading happening, and it's really messy as you look at the generations and what can happen if it doesn't go right. Eli and his sons, it was kind of a mess, as you may remember. Samuel, then, okay, the next prophet along in the line of everything. You'd think he would have learned some profound lessons from Eli, but he had real trouble with his sons along the way. It's kind of messy as well. And then you look at Jesse, David's father, okay? When Samuel says, I want to bring all your sons in to me, we're going to see who's going to be the next king of Israel. Jesse doesn't even bother to bring David in the room. He goes, I got this figured out. It is not David. All right. It might be the other guys. Okay. They're good looking. They're strong. They're whatever. It is not David. He's the runt of the litter. And may I suggest this morning that the hope of a generation may be the runt sitting next to you somewhere. All right. In fact, if you look at God and the way that he works, it may very well be. It might even be the norm. Because he takes the weak things, he takes the foolish things, the simple things of this world, and does profound things with it, and then God gets the glory. Even Samuel, he's going, he sees the oldest son, goes, this must be him. Nope, okay? Even people sometimes in tune, really in tune with listening to God, it's so easy to miss it. God looks at the inward thing. He looks at the heart thing when we're looking on the outside. We've got to get past our cultural norms and get into the heart of God. And part of, I believe, the heart of God is for us to cross this generation gap. I was at Ross earlier this week, and just a couple of days ago, and I was talking to the lady there, and she asked, what are your weekend plans? Just kind of the normal conversations that we all have. And I said, oh, we're going to do some stuff. Well, we're going to, my wife, we're going to do some stuff to honor her, whatever, and all that. And I have a great Mother's Day and all that stuff, too. And I asked, what are your plans? And she goes, well, everybody works, so it's kind of hard, but we're going to try to do something, too. Oh, great. Okay, so on the way out, I say, okay, great. Well, happy Mother's Day. And she goes, you too. You know, and I kind of waited for her to do that little double take, you know, I was like that, you know, and she didn't double take. I'm like, okay, we're right here. So, you know, I was going to ha ha, but there was no ha because she was just kind of so stuck in the norms of conversation that she just kind of move on. And we do that, you know, we joke about that sometimes. Have a nice flight, you too. And we're, you know, all that stuff. We so easily slip into social norms and the customs of this world that we forget even what we're doing. Sometimes we're out of tune to the heart of God. And I believe part of the heart of God is for us to join together as a body of believers and to see God do some profound things. we have to talk to each other. We have to tell each other. We have to communicate with each other the great things that God has done. Again, mess in the Old Testament, even in Egypt. Okay, a lot of us are familiar with the story of what happened as Joseph comes to Egypt and he ends up being the instrument of God to rescue the Hebrews, rescue the nation there as they come to Egypt. Okay, and we got the plagues, all this stuff happening later, and or with Moses and all this stuff. Now I'm confused and completely lost. Let me back up. We've got Joseph is used by God, okay, in the profound way to rescue all of Israel, all right? But then later, we know Israel forgets the great things that God has done. We have Moses, God uses, okay, to rescue his people. We have everything that happened there. We have the plagues and all that stuff. Egypt certainly would have remembered everything that happened as Moses is there. Profound, 10 profound things happened to this nation to ruin it, all right? And they forget all this stuff. It isn't long until they're saying, we've got to get these people out of here and all this stuff. It's easy for all of us to forget the great things that our God does. And we've got to remember it. We've got to stay in tune with that. We've got to cling to it. Exodus 1:6-8. In time, Joseph and all of his brothers died, ending that entire generation. One generation gone. But their descendants, the Israelites, had many children and grandchildren. In fact, they multiplied so greatly that they became extremely powerful and filled the land. Eventually, a new king, though, came to power in Egypt who knew nothing about Joseph or what he had done, what God had done there, and everything becomes a mess. We've got to record. We've got to tell the great things that God has done. We've got to communicate one generation to another. Moms do a profound job of communicating from one generation to another the great things that God has done and the hope that there is for a generation. One generation must reach another. Josh McDowell wrote a book I have in my office. It's called The Last Christian Generation. And he talks about how if the current generation doesn't pick up the heartbeat of Christianity, it will be lost. He says it takes one generation for Christianity as we know it to be lost. It's recorded in Scripture over and over again, and it can happen in our current time if one generation does not impart to the next generation who it is that our God is and what he has done. So what needs to be imparted? I'm just going to cover a few things this morning, and you might remember these, write them down, but pretty simple stuff from Scripture. I love the Word of God. I want to start and in the middle and in the end be in Scripture. That's where I want to be. We've got to engage our culture, but we don't necessarily need to embrace it. We've got to engage it and change it. We've got to step into our culture, but we've got to make sure that what we're really, really engaged in, really embracing, is the Word of God, and make sure that we start and end there. Okay, three things that need to be passed down from one generation to the next. The first is faith. Faith must be passed down. 1 Chronicles 28:9. And you, Solomon, here's David talking to his son. You, Solomon, my son, know the God of your father and serve him with a whole heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands every plan and thought. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. Here's David saying, my son, know the God of your father. Know the God of your father. You must know him. Faith needs to be passed down. We've got to pass from one generation to the next what it means to know God. Judges 2:10. And all that generation also were gathered to their fathers. And there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord or the work that he had done for Israel. A generation will follow that does not know the Lord if something isn't imparted, if something isn't passed down. We have to be communicating with each other what it means to know the Lord. What it means to know the Lord. David says in Psalms, the same David who says to Solomon, "Know, you must know God." He says this, "Oh, that I might know the Lord. Let us press on to know him. As surely as the rising of the sun, he will respond. Oh, that I might know the Lord. Let us press on to know him." Faith must be passed down. A walk with God must be passed down. A relationship with Jesus must be passed down. Second, foundations must be passed down. Same verses. I don't know if you recognize this, but in each of those verses, there's something that follows. Know the Lord. the first one, 1 Chronicles 28, it says, know the God of your father and serve him with a whole heart and with willing mind, for the Lord searches all the hearts. If you seek him, you'll find him. He's saying you've got to know his works. You've got to know what it means to follow him. You've got to know what it means to serve him. And in Judges 2, there was another generation after that did not know the Lord or the work that he had done for Israel. We've got to pass down the foundations of what it is that God has done for us. What it means to know him, but then we've got to know his heart. But then second, we've got to understand his hand on our lives, what it is that he's done for us. We've got to tell a generation after us what it is that our God has done. Faith and foundations. And I love that as a church here, we've got Bible foundations that were being established in the Word of God. This is where we must live. This is where our hearts must beat. We've got to know him and we've got to be established in him. Our faith and our foundations. And the third thing that needs to be passed down is family. Family must be passed down. You go, what does that mean? Well, there's so much in here. We don't have time to cover it all, but just a couple of things. John 17, 21. Here's Jesus' prayer, of course, to his Father, that they may be all, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The heart of God, the heart of Jesus, that they would, that we would all be one. The whole idea of what it means to be one, to be gathered together as a church, must be passed down. To be part of the family of God is a theme woven all throughout Scripture. 1 Corinthians 1:10. I love this. In the New Living, it says, I appeal to you, dear brothers and sisters, by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, to live in harmony with each other. Let there be no divisions in the church. Rather, be of one mind, united in thought and purpose. There aren't supposed to be divisions in the church. There aren't supposed to be divisions in the family of God. We look at those generation gaps and we go, okay, we got to figure out what to do with those. We're supposed to be gathered together. We're supposed to celebrate some of the differences. We're supposed to be joined together in what it is that God has for us together as a church. Family is beautiful. Family is a phenomenal thing to be celebrated as we look at all the different generations gathered together and go, look at what God has done. And one generation tells the next and parts to them and it parts to the next and part all the way down. And then the generation that comes after gets to partake of the same thing. The legacy of faith, the history of what God has done, the abundance of what he has sown and what has been reaped in the household of faith. It's a beautiful thing and it's not going to happen by accident. We need to be deliberate about passing down from one generation to the next the values that we hold dear. We have to be deliberate about it. It's not going to happen just by accident. You know, it's interesting. I was thinking about this, and what I tend to talk about by accident as the day goes is the problems in the day. Okay? And it's, I think about it, I am imparting something. What am I imparting? You go, how are you doing? Oh, I'm good. You know, things are kind of crazy, blah, 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 you know. And we kind of get going on all that stuff. And of course, we're supposed to bear each other's burdens. But if we're honest and we talk about, we think about this and then share, how often do we talk about the great things that God has done? How often are we imparting something, one generation to the other, of the great things that our God has done? As one generation declares to the next the works of God. And I was thinking about that. I'm much more quick to talk about the problems that are going on than the great things that God has done. How are things going? Oh my goodness. Do you have time for a story? You know, God is so amazing. You know, do you really want to know? How you doing? Do you really want, how much time do you have? Okay. Now, I'm not saying we should do that all the time, but that maybe should be quicker on our tongues. The words that edify, that encourage, that build each other up, that move things forward. Then we're going to impart to each other faith and hope and belief that whatever struggle it is that someone else might be in, that God's going to take them to the other side. Imagine that people bringing their kids around to Moses, okay, and saying, hey, Moses, would you tell them about the parting of the Red Sea? Yes, I love this story. All right, I love the story. Okay, great. And the kid's like, did it really happen? And he said, absolutely. Were you really there? Yep. You know, and imagine him talking about it. And then, what was it like walking through? You know, and as one generation hears this profound story of the great thing that God has done. And while very few of us are actually going to walk through parted waters in a sea someplace, all right, he has taken us from slavery and delivered us. He's brought us through the waters of baptism and left our sin nature and our slavery and our bondage behind and brought us to freedom. And we can tell people the story of the great things that our God has done. It's a story worth telling. It's your story and only your story to share. And God's going to touch and change a generation as we do that. And we've been in the middle of kind of transitioning from our focus in ministry, the 9 months of kind of campus ministry, and then into painting the contracting work that, you know, that we do. And it's about a week ago, it suddenly came to me. I realized that I was kind of just in that mode where I kind of put my head down and just try to go. You know, I'm just like, I'm just going to get it done. There's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of work ahead and everything. All right, here we go. You know, I feel like a beast of burden sometimes. I'm just like, I'm going to just kind of bear the load like an ox and just walk and try to turn the mill, you know, whatever, in circles. I don't know. And I seriously had the thought, I was like, I wish I could fast forward 3 months and get back into ministry and kind of get this stuff out of the way and move forward. And I had that little warning thing that where the Holy Spirit, you know, starts speaking to you. You know, sometimes it's that still small voice, you know, it's kind of like, oh, I think I hear the rustling of the wind. And then sometimes it's God just kind of goes, beba, beba, beba. You know, you got the, ah, you know, and he goes, seriously. And I go, oh my goodness, I don't want to live there. I don't want to just go, let time pass. You know, that's not the abundant life. I don't want to impart that to my kids. You know, how's things going? Well, school's pretty rough. Take a nap and get back to it. You know, isn't it terrible? You know, this too shall pass. You know, a great promise in Scripture, and it came to pass. You know, and while there's truth in that, all right, that's not necessarily the testimony that we're all supposed to be imparting to each other. Time keeps marching on, and this challenge is going to be gone. But then the next one comes. Wow. You know, I don't know what to tell you. You know, suck it up. You know, eat, drink, be merry, and die. I don't know. You know, that's not the abundant life. That's not what God has for us. That's not how he's called us to live. And here I am thinking, you know, again, ox to the grinding stone, whatever. And God just going, no. I'm going to miss out on the blessing of what God has in store if I'm just putting my head down and I'm going to totally miss out on the runt that God's going to bring along that's the hope of a generation. All right? Eyes closed, just looking at the outside, looking at the circumstances, but in the spirit, God is doing something, and I've got to tap into it. We all need to tap into that. God has profound things ahead. I was very convicted. That's not what, like I was saying, I want to impart to my children. The ladies were just at this, at a little retreat, women's retreat. And, so Suzanne was gone, which is a little bit of an emergency at our house. She's an amazing mom. She is the glue that holds our family together. And so last night, we kind of scrambled and put together a gourmet meal of leftovers, in the fridge. I was just trying to be, you know, economical. Okay. That's virtuous and everything. So, our kids are old enough now that we kind of all got out of the fridge and I said, warm up your dinner. Here we go. You know, I'm like, yeah, you know. And, so we sat down and we sat down and thought, let's watch maybe a little bit of a, you know, something that the boys love, Ninja Warrior or whatever. So we went and this, professional boxing thing was on that I've been hearing about. It was a title defense and I enjoy boxing and it was, I don't know. And we got there and we turned on just as it was starting. I thought, we're going to watch boxing for a minute. Suzanne's not here. So we're eating poorly and we're going to watch boxing for a minute. Okay. Here we go. And Anna was gone too. So, cause she can't really handle that kind of thing. But Lizzie is just kind of like, that looks like my brother's fighting. But anyway, so we got this title defense. So we kind of watched that. I'm kind of talking to the boys about it. My dad, boxed at West Point and my grandfather, his dad, was a semi-pro boxer, boxed his way through medical school. You know, it's kind of scary. You think about a physician with hands that are beat up. But anyway, he was really good. And so it's kind of in our blood a little bit. And so then when I was tucking the boys in bed, I was thinking about that and we were kind of talking about the boxing thing a little bit. It's just kind of the way that this happens. And I said, you know, one time when my roommates had gloves and Uncle Trent came over to my apartment, he's kind of reaching out to me and everything. And he saw the gloves. He goes, oh, you guys box, you know, and we're like, well, you know, and he goes, oh, let's box. So Trent remembers this well, I'm sure. So he's just being a nice outreach guy. Okay. And I have been there a lot now. Okay. You got to be careful when you're a nice outreach guy mode. Okay. Because it can be dangerous. And so, he goes, well, let's box. So I'm like, oh, okay. We're in our little, you know, it's a small apartment with a little, anyway. So put on gloves and he's chewing gum. He's like, oh, okay. You know, Trent's just such an amazing, nice guy. Okay. And so we're like, you know, I'm like, okay, you know, and, now the problem is that I have Irish blood in me. Okay. And it takes all of about half a second for me to hear ding, and the fight's on, and there's Trent. Just nice outreach guy, you know, friend. But that's completely lost on me. And he's chewing gum. And so we kind of did a couple of things, and I kind of throw this looping right, and I caught his jaw when it was slack, when he's chewing gum. He's like, And I go, like that. And his gum goes, so it goes spinning out the side. And he kind of goes like this a little bit, and he goes, wow, I think I'm done. And sat down in the chair, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry, you know. And the boy said, well, you guys were roommates then, right? I go, no, actually we weren't. He was just reaching out to me, but we became roommates later. I don't know what he was thinking. And my roommates, the irony of it now is that I work for him. He's like, you will work for me someday, you know, and I do, you know, and he's my boss, but it's kind of fun. But anyway, so we're talking about that. So I'm putting the boys to bed, and so then Judah, I love the mind of Judah, he goes, so Dad, could you like take one of those guys that we saw boxing earlier? I'm like, oh yeah. No, I said, actually, if I'd been in that fight tonight, I'd be in the hospital right now. Okay, that's just the way I've gone. I was very honest with them. You know, of course, there isn't a chance in the world. But we're talking about this, and I'm going, this is kind of part of the silly story of me becoming part of Living Faith Fellowship. Thank you, Trent, very much. And again, I'm still sorry. But so grateful for the happy outreach guy that makes the outreach happen, and we're out stepping into people's lives, and then we get to share the stories with another generation that's thinking about that and everything, and they're just eating it up, and that's so much more fun than, you know, it just all is kind of sad, you know, and just kind of put your head down and get to it. We are imparting something. We are giving something. We are teaching something to the generation that follows us. Generation that follows. You're receiving something. Something's being imparted to you. What is it? Are we catching a hold of what it is that God has for us? There is so much. We're building and leaving a legacy. What is it? I love Psalm 145. I'm going to look at this here for a minute. I love it. I will exalt you, my God and King, and praise your name forever and ever. I will praise you every day. Yes, I will praise you forever. Great is the Lord. He is most worthy of praise. No one can measure his greatness. Let each generation tell its children of your mighty acts. Let them proclaim your power. One generation is supposed to declare to the next of the great things that our God has done. Let them declare your mighty acts. Let them proclaim your power. It goes on talking about his wonderful miracles. It's beautiful. And what a privilege that we have. So I want to end this morning with just a few practical ways that we can do that. All right. Such an important thing. Such a beautiful privilege that we have. There's such a tremendous need. Such a tremendous need that we work together across the generations and that our culture looks at us and go, I think that's the way it's supposed to work. That's beautiful. That's a beautiful thing. Look at the work of God. Look at the amazing things that God is doing in and through his people. The first is this. Keep talking after church. Keep talking after church. I'll talk to a new person sometimes. I'll invite them to church, and they'll go, well, when is church? And I go, it starts at 10:30. Well, when's it end? You know, some people are kind of going, oh, am I in this for an hour or eight? I don't know how this whole church thing works. You know, and I go, well, formally, it ends about noon. Okay, practically speaking, sometime between 1 and 4 p.m. Is when you can kind of expect to get out. But we'll get you home. We'll even get you fed if we need to, you know. That's something kind of unique about this congregation that's beautiful. We've got to keep talking after church. We met for a semester up on campus. We did CCF at WSU for a semester, and it was so fun to get going. We had a whole bunch of people there at first, and we realized very quickly there's a real problem with what it is that we're doing, because we're up there in the Cub, and they had to get us out of there real fast after we were done. Just schedule, times, all this stuff and everything, and there was no opportunity to connect with people. And we realized, what are we doing? Okay, we can worship, we can have a talk here, whatever, but the relational element is lost, and it's part of our DNA to a greater degree than I ever would have known. We need to keep talking before, after church. Most of us don't have time to talk before church, so you talk after church. We've got coffee, all this stuff and everything, to hang out and let the generations catch up with each other, to impart something one person to the next as part of the heart of God. The second is this, be a part of a small group. Be a part of a small group. We can disappear in a crowd sometimes. All right, it's a little harder in the small group context, especially with a savvy small group leader, all right? And you kind of go, oh, they're back at me again, you know, and you kind of deflect, whatever. But when someone loves you and is willing to step into your life, a beautiful, beautiful things can happen. It's really important to be part of a small group, from Home Connect groups to Financial Peace University to young marrieds to young professionals, YoPro, you go, to prime ministers, building better businesses, whatever it is. There's so many different small groups, opportunities to connect, to rub shoulders with each other so we can be changed. So it's not just information that we're getting, but impartation is happening. One generation telling the next generation of the mighty works of our God. Third, join together in service. We join together in service. A beautiful, beautiful privilege, beautiful opportunity. Wednesday night work parties all summer. It is so cool to get together and serve. There's moving parties happen here and there. You know, we're going to go for a new record, getting everybody moved. We slow down after we started breaking lots of stuff. We're like, maybe it's not so important that we get this done in 4 minutes. Maybe we should, you know, move it without breaking stuff. The moving party is another really fun opportunity to serve. Vacation Bible School will be coming up with about 100 people already registered, ready to go and everything. There's so many opportunities to serve. And when we serve, we give some of ourself away. Selfishness starts to bleed away from us. And we start to glean from the other people around us, rub shoulders with people that we might not in any other way. It's a beautiful thing that happens. This isn't necessarily just service because they get paid to do it. But my boys came back from mowing Mr. Stone's lawn yesterday. What a privilege. And Liam said, Mr. Stone is so cool. He is so cool. And Mr. Stone has the wisdom to take his wisdom and drop a little bit on a couple guys that show up to mow his lawn on a Saturday. He has so much to give. One generation is telling, you know, a couple down, two, three somewhere, of the great things that our God has done and is doing. Something profound happens. So rub shoulders together. And then last. So keep talking after church. Be part of a small group. Join together in service. And then stand together on mission. Stand together on mission. The mission of country clubs is to cater to the recreational desires and social preferences of its members. The mission of armies is to guard, protect, and preserve freedom against tyranny. We have a mission as the army of God. And it's not just to cater to the preferences of this congregation, the recreational desires, the social expectations. We have a mission. We are an army. We are an army. And if we just slip into being a club, then the generational differences that we have will end up being divisive. But if we're on purpose, if we're on track with our mission, then we're able to take the different methodologies of different generations, join them all together, and accomplish our mission to a greater degree than we ever could without them. We have a mission, a great co-mission, to go and make disciples. We must be about that mission, joining together despite any differences, methods, preferences, for the sake of that mission. Methods change, but mission remains the same. I've got to understand that we'll look at things differently, but if we're joined together in mission, Jesus is going to move. Jesus is going to get the glory. It's all going to be for Christ, for His joy, for His work. That's a privilege we have. So as we leave today, I just want to remind all of us of Ephesians 6, 1 through 4, and it says this. I guess we've got 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Or honor your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, the first commandment, with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Today, honor your mother. Honor a mother figure, a natural mother, a spiritual mother, someone who's got that role in life. Honor them as an expression of the heart of God for His church, for the heart of God across generations. Let's join together in our mission as an example to the world of the marvelous things that our God can do. We are a testimony. We are imparting something. And today we have the privilege of being a great testimony of the great things that our God has done to impart generation to generation the great things that our God can do.